I'd ask that you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, page 837 in your Red Pew Bibles. Encourage you to follow along with us as Luke has been continuing to introducing to Jesus. And last week we got into, he was introducing us to God's upside down kingdom. And this week he just seems to go over the top. Right? This is just one of the crazy commands from Jesus. Back when I was a youth pastor in Indiana, and the senior pastor was announced his retirement, and I had been the youth pastor there for about 15 years, and I was kind of growing tired of being a youth pastor and lock-ins and all that sort of stuff, and I needed something easier, so I wanted to be a pastor. So, during that time, and then, you know, I had opportunities to preach, and I was enjoyed preaching, and so I put my name in the hat to be the next pastor there, and then along with some other candidates. And so on the day that I was interviewed by the pastor search committee, and it was this big round wooden table that we had there, and I knew everyone around the table and everybody knew me, and you know, they liked me well enough, kept me around for 15 years, so, you know, everybody kind of knew me and everything. But there was one couple there, and that was the first mistake, a couple on the pastor search committee. There was one couple there that absolutely did not want me to have any chance of being the next pastor. And so during that interview process, they had raised some, you know, issues that I have done in the past. And of course, if you're a youth minister, you've always done things in the past. But then they start posing scenarios about what I would do in the future. And man, they were really trapping me. You know, it was like how the religious leaders tried to trap Jesus, only Jesus was smart enough to get out of them, and I wasn't smart enough like that. But I'll tell you one thing, I left that interview so angry at that couple. And I realized I have enemies in the church. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation like that? Well, Jesus has a solution for that in our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 6, we're going to start verse 27. And before we do, let's pray, all right? Father, as we open up your word and we study this difficult passage, we would pray that your anointing of your Holy Spirit would come upon us for the purpose of understanding your word. For the purpose of understanding more what we're like, and the purpose of understanding your kingdom and what you have called us to. And so, Lord, as we wrestle with things this morning and probably get a little bit uncomfortable, Lord, that's okay. Because in the process of becoming more like Jesus, we need to have our old self chipped away, and that sometimes hurts. But Lord, give us a vision of who we can become. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 6, we start in verse 27. Jesus says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, look at verse 27 real quick. It's really interesting how Jesus starts off this passage of Scripture. But to you who are listening. Now, we remember the story. Jesus has been surrounded by people here on the plain. He has been healing a bunch of people, casting out demonic spirits, teaching people. Last week we had that incredible teaching where Jesus began to explain God's upside down kingdom. And one of the things he said is that if you are poor and displaced and marginalized, that doesn't mean that God doesn't like you. No, God loves you. God still cares for you. And so he gave people on the margins hope, but he gave a warning for those who are rich, for those who were well-fed and comfortable in their life, for those who were popular. And one of the things that he said is to be very careful with the blessings that God has given you. He said, in essence, your comfort does not equal God's favor. And he kind of made that a highlight. And so with that, I'm wondering, because that was a different understanding of God, I wondered how people reacted to that. I'm a skeptic. My nature is to be a skeptic. I see stuff on the internet, I kind of go, yeah, right. You know, I'm just skeptical. Come on. I ran into someone not too long ago and they said, hey man, you got to check this out. And they said, I'm not sure if I really believe this, but you just have to check this out. And he gave me the website. And he said, this is, you know, because it is when the world is, you know, when the Lord's coming back. And it was all these, you know, stuff's happening in the world and point to Scripture. And I looked on a website, I kind of went, yeah, come on, you know, come on. And sometimes I will watch TV preachers or interviews and people will be edgy and they'll say little radical things. And I'm kind of like, you know, come on. And I end up just switching off. You know, I don't want to, come on. Some of you in here have even done that with me. Right? And I say something you don't agree with a little bit, and you're kind of like, okay, all right, these go off, you know, let me know when you come back, right? And I'm sure that Jesus had the same kind of listeners in his audience as well. When he starts talking about God's upside down kingdom, and, you know, people are kind of going, wait, what? What did he just say? And so what do? They start tuning out. They start tuning out. And so before he even gets to this teaching, what does Jesus say? He sees the reaction. He sees how people are reacting in the crowd. You know. And so what does he say? If you're still listening, if you haven't tuned me out yet, I want you to pay attention to this. And then he delivers one of the most outrageous commands ever in the history of humanity, where he says, love your enemies. And he says it twice, right? Because the second time he says it in verse 35, he repeats it. He said, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the grateful, to the ungrateful and the wicked. And here Jesus shares why we should love our enemies. And Jesus says, because that's what God is like. Very simple. That's what God is like. He is full of grace and mercy and kindness, even towards us, right? Now, you can stop. Listen, we have all done things that we are not proud of. We have all thought of things that if they were made public, we would just not be proud. And yet Scripture says, while we were still sinners, God loved us. there's nothing special about us. That's the cool thing about the gospel. There's nothing special about us other than we have been created by God. And He loves us despite the mess that we are. He loves us and He still saved us and He made us His children. Whoa. If there was any a time when a Baptist church would say amen, Ken, it would be right then, right? I mean, that is so awesome when we, you know, and so here we are God's children. And so as we are part of God's kingdom and God's kingdom is taking over, one of the things He says is, I want you to live in a different way than the rest of the world lives. I have a small garden at home. And, it's just a small garden. And we God blesses us with an abundance of tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that. And every year, I take that abundance and I will give it to neighbors. And sometimes we make pickles out of the cucumbers and salsa every year. And we will give some to the neighbors. And sometimes the neighbors will respond, oh, you have done so much for us. We've got to do something back for you. We haven't done anything for you. And so there's a general thinking that we all have that when somebody does something good for us, we need to reciprocate, right? We need to do something back for them. That's called, in marketing, it's called the law of reciprocity, okay? Now Jesus comes on the scene, He said, listen, if that's the way you're going to think according to the law of reciprocity, if that is the way you're going to act, in the scriptures He says, big deal. Big deal. If you're just going to love people that are going to love you back, if you're just going to do good, you know, expecting to get something in return, Jesus says, so what? It's basically what He said. He said, the rest of the world thinks like that. But, He says, in God's upside-down kingdom, you don't just love those people who love you. You don't just do good for, you know, expecting something in return. You love your enemies. You do good to people who hate you, who mistreat you. And Jesus takes this law of reciprocity and just turns it up on its head. You see, this is how the cycle of hatred and evil gets broken. It doesn't seem like it, but loving enemies actually makes for a better world. We can't always get our mind around that. And remember, I seem like I can share this every week. Jesus said, John 10:10, y'all know it yet? Jesus said, I came that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. And so he said, loving your enemies is a way that we can get the most out of life. Whoa, wait, what? Because Jesus knows it is not a good way to live by always thinking about revenge. It's not a good way to live by always harboring grudges or hatred towards people, because Jesus knows that just eats you up inside. That's not going to lead to the abundant life. So, the question is, how can I love my enemy? How can I love my enemy? Most of us grew up with teachings in the church that, how many of you remember that you're not supposed to hate anybody? Right, it's a bad, you don't hate, you're a Christian, you're not supposed to hate anybody. In fact, the other day when my six-year-old granddaughter was over at the house and I said something like, I hate that. Oh, pap, you said a bad word. I wasn't directed toward anybody, but it was just, that hate. We don't hate, right? And it even seems unchristian to consider someone your enemy, right? Like it's just not, we're not supposed to have enemies. So we don't have enemies. Now, culturally, we have enemies, right? I mean, that's what our culture teaches us. You, the enemy is the other political party who wants to destroy the nation, or Vladimir Putin, and it becomes easy for us to demonize them. But, you know, they're not really in our personal space, right? For the people back in Jesus' world, it was the Romans. But let me ask you this. If someone had done you wrong, and I ask you, do you hate them? And you would just say, no, I don't. Because you're not supposed to hate anybody. I don't hate them. Would you consider them your enemy? No, I wouldn't do that. But if I start talking about your difficult situation, I just say, hey, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to go out and I want you to find a way that you could bless them, that you could do something that would just make their day, do an act of love for them. I'll bet I'd get some pushback, right? You would kind of like, you know, well, I'm not that far, okay? I'm not ready to do that yet. They're not our enemy, and I don't hate them, but we'll do whatever we can to ignore them, right? And avoid them and get them out of our memory, and you know, we will do whatever we can. And here's the problem in that, is that when we don't honestly admit that these people are our enemies, then we can proudly say, I can ignore Jesus' teaching here. Because I don't have any enemies. He says, love your enemies. It's like, well, I don't have any enemies. I don't hate anybody. But our enemy is anyone whom we don't want to love. Our enemy is anyone whom we don't want to love. And so the first step in loving our enemies is to ask the question, who is my enemy? We need to name them. We need to name them. Because when we name them, when we identify them, it forces us to deal with Jesus' teachings here. We can't just blow it off. And when we name them, we will even recognize them as a human being made in the image of God as well. And so the first step is that we need to name our enemies. And then the second step is in loving our enemies is to pray for them. Jesus said, we pray for them. Verse 28, pray for those who mistreat you. Now, I thought of two things when it comes to praying for enemies. The first way we can pray is like David and some of the psalmists prayed for their enemies. God, bring your anger and destruction and justice down on my enemies. Right? Bring it down upon them. Now that seems kind of strange, but here's the deal. It's in the Psalms. And many times David has prayed that prayer. Right? That doesn't seem right. But when we do that, when we recite, when we pray those prayers, you know what we're doing? We're placing judgment and justice in God's hands and not ours. So we don't have to deal with it. And we say, God, you deal with this injustice. God, you deal with that. That's one way we can pray as we read the Psalms. I encourage you to read the Psalms because all through the Psalms is us. Now, here's the second thing we can pray. I think of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. And he's hanging there on the cross, and people came up to him. All sorts of people. Normal people, religious leaders, the soldiers, and they mocked him. They just made fun of the King of the universe. And do you remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. I think this is a good way for us to pray for our enemies. We pray, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they have hurt me. Now, some people say, oh, yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows. No, no, no. They don't know how they've hurt me. They don't know how they're hurting themselves. They don't know how they're hurting the people around them and humanity as well. One of the prayers that I like to pray in situations like this is, Lord, open up their eyes. Paul's prayed that prayer in Ephesians. Lord, open up their eyes. Good prayer to pray. And when we start praying for someone, you know what? You can't continue to hate them. Amen. If you're praying for someone, you can't continue to hate them, because prayer changes us and it makes us more like Jesus. And so the second step in loving our enemies is to pray for them. And then the third thing that Jesus tells us to do is to act generously to them. Act generously towards them. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. You see, it's not just enough to have this internal, okay, God, I love them, okay? Jesus says, we need to put it into action. Oh, if he would have just stopped at praying for them, right? Oh, no, now we got to do something. There's a guy who wrote a book, and the topic of the book was this: love does. Love is a verb. It's not a feeling. Love is a verb. It's an action. And you look at the examples that Jesus gives, and in typical Jesus fashion, it's absurd generosity. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn on them the other. Someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. It is Jesus' desire to reject the cycle of evil. And so Jesus wants to see that we eliminate retaliation and revenge and even just ignoring. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to respond with generous love. Because when we do this, what happens is it exposes evil. Evil's actually exposed. It seems crazy. It seems counterintuitive. But we've seen in history how this can transform our world. If you know anything about Mahatma Gandhi and his peaceful response to injustice, he shamed his enemies into change. In our country, in the 60s, Martin Luther King Jr. and the peaceful civil rights protests and standing up to the water hoses, the fire hoses, and people, as that was televised, people all around the world saw evil being done. And they said, that's enough. No more. Things need to change. When we first moved into our house, one of the first things I wanted to do was what my dad had done, and that is put a garden in the backyard. And so I put out a little plot and dug up the ground. Little did I know that that was against the rules of the HOA. And I got a nasty letter. And the president of the HOA was my neighbor. Oh, boy. And when I got that letter, you know, the former letter, oh, it was so hot. I was just so angry. And, you know, I thought she was so nice. No, she's not. And so, you know, I'd end up getting permission. And when I harvested my first tomatoes, guess where they went? You know, it was just the right thing to do. Loving your enemies means, yeah, baking cookies maybe for a neighbor that you don't get along with. Maybe it's buying coffee for the coworker that you can't stand. This is what Jesus is talking about. In 2019... off-duty Dallas police officer Amber Geiger entered Botham John's apartment thinking that it was her own apartment. And as she opened the door and she saw some movement, she thought it was a burglar, and she shot this man and killed him right on the spot. In the courtroom, after she had been sentenced to 10 years in prison for murder, Botham's younger brother, Brant, took the stand to make a statement. And while looking right at this woman and addressing this woman who murdered his brother, he acknowledged the pain that she had caused in his life. But then he said he hoped that she would turn to God with all the guilt and pain that she had caused. He told her that he had forgiven her, that he loves her just like he would love any other human being, that he wanted the best for her, and that he hoped that she one day would give her life to Christ. And then he asked the judge to do something amazing. He asked the judge if he could give this woman a hug. And this is on YouTube, and you can watch it. And he comes down, and the woman comes over, and she's crying and sobbing, and they embrace, and you can hear sobs all throughout the courtroom. And the judge, you get a picture of the judge wiping away tears from her eyes. And shortly afterwards, the judge, Tammy Kemp, handed Geiger her own personal Bible that she used every day, and she told her, "This is your job for the next month, is to read this, and this is where you start. John 3:16. For God so loved the world." Friends, this is how we change the world. Would you bow your heads, please? And in this time of silence, we prayed for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place and in you. Listen for God as he speaks to you. What is God saying to you in this time of silence? Perhaps God has identified some enemies in your life. And the second question to think about is this: what are you going to do about what God has just showed you? Almighty God, you love us way more than we can imagine. And Lord, there is no doubt, as Jesus sets this high bar, that it is a struggle for each one of us to love our enemies. But we are your children, and your Spirit resides in us. And so give us the courage and strength to represent you and the teachings of Jesus out in the world. Lord, we call upon your Holy Spirit to help us, not in some magical way, but as we spend more time in tune with you, we sense the reality and the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives to do amazing things, including loving our enemies. Father, we thank you for never giving up on us. And we are so grateful to be called your children. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.